Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Abe TL Show. Talked a lot of college football over the last 40 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit more. I am so excited for week one. I can't tell you. It feels like the biggest week one of all time. There's so many good games that matter. There's so many games that I think can be overlooked that are important to me. I already mentioned it. I am so ready for Boise State and South Florida tomorrow. I think people have gotten it wrong about Boise State a year ago. I think that they are, once again, the group of five team to catch. And I think South Florida's offense might have something to say about that at home. We go to the WadeFord.com hotline to talk about week one and everything that's going on in college football. It is John Bryce, footballscoop.com, national football columnist. He also covers Notre Dame specifically, and that's good because I have some questions about the Irish and maybe a question that he leans as the Irish is one of the answers as well. But, John, we have made it. I know there were some games in week zero. Some really good games, by the way, in week zero. Some good finishes out on the West Coast and the whatever coast Dublin is on as well. But week one, John, am I crazy for feeling like this is the biggest week one in recent memory?
Boy, it's an incredible opening weekend because of all the premier intersectional non-conference games. And when you have three different matchups of top 10 teams for opening weekend. And the thing I like is like all three are in home stadiums. They're not neutral siders. And then on top of that, you've got Alabama going to Florida State in what is a really pivotal year for Mike Norvell. And then compelling, like you said, I'm fired up for Thursday night because I've known Alex Golish for a while and saw what he did at Tennessee. And frankly, I think Tennessee has very much missed Alex Golish since he left as its offensive coordinator and took over at South Florida. So I think, especially if South Florida can get a win with having Miami and Florida both coming up after that, this is South Florida's best chance to get a win that could be the difference in a playoff berth at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think the winner of that game, Boise State out South Florida, 5:30 on Thursday, I think the winner of that game is the team to catch in the group of five. And I guess we can just kind of start there. Who else is in that discussion for group of five? In recent years, we've kind of had Memphis and Tulane in there. Army and Navy keep making their opinions heard. Who is your group of five team outside of Boise State just to keep an eye on?
Yeah, you just named two of them right there. Memphis won 10 games a year ago. They get Arkansas at home in the opening month of the season, which could be a chance to obviously score a big-time win against a stable, solid, not a great, but a solid SEC program. Tulane has Northwestern early. They've got a couple of other, I think, power conference games that could very much give them a chance to make a statement. So James Madison is another one that I would consider. I would want to keep an eye on James Madison. I like Chesney. He's won everywhere he's been. And I think James Madison does a great job and has some of the premier resources and support of anybody in the G5. And when we talk about that, you reference Boise. I think they probably have the most money of any G5 team. Tulane is right there. I think Tulane's around $9 to $10 million that they're able to rev share, and James Madison in that mix. So Memphis, certainly with the commitment from FedEx or the Smith family, has deep pockets as well. So I think those are good teams with really good coaches, good players, good programs, but also they're still viable and relevant because they have adapted and adjusted and invested in this new era.
Now, you say Tulane has money, but it wasn't enough to keep Darian Mensah there. He went to Duke reportedly for $4 million because I think if he were still there, we're having a different discussion about who's ranked in the top 25. You mentioned a couple of big games. Obviously, Texas, Ohio State. You got LSU at Clemson. Maybe one of those teams is the answer to this question. Maybe it's the Georgia Bulldogs. Maybe it's someone else. Who do you believe is the most talented team in college football?
Boy, that's I probably at first blush think it's Texas. Ohio State is right there. I know The 247 Sports team composites came out this week, and I think it might have been Georgia that was number one. I don't have it right in front of me. But I like the top-end talent of the quarterback position at Ohio State and Texas better than I like Georgia's quarterback talent. And so that's why, to me, I would put those teams right there. Notre Dame, I think, is closer than it ever has been in this century of college football. And Clemson is really good at some really key spots. So those probably be my top three, four. Penn State, obviously, in there. And Dan Lanning has made Oregon the West Coast's true SEC team.
Yeah, I need to see a lot of things from Oregon before I'm ready to talk about them. I think the injuries at receiver, the question marks there for Dante Moore. I'm not saying they're not that good. I just want to see it. Kind of the same way I want to see it with Texas, if we're going to be honest. I was talking last segment. My questions are not about Arch Manning. I have real concerns about their receiving core. And I know it's recruit and rebuild and all that, but they sent a lot of talent to the NFL. So I'm fascinated to see how that works out for them. The other thing for me is Penn State. And that's another one where it's just like, are they going to win the big one this year? Can James Franklin get out of his own way? Everyone's trying to tell me Penn State's the squad to beat in the Big Ten. And again, John, I'm not saying they're not, but they're one of those schools, and there are a couple of schools like them where every year I just need to see it to really buy in.
Oh, that's completely fair. And look, now they return the most experienced talent of anybody in college football, in my opinion, and love their offensive line and their two-headed monsters at running back. And Drew Aller, to me, is a lot like Cade Klubnik. Like, physically, you see a lot there. Is he really going to be able to elevate his game to the next level? But Penn State does not have to leave home until the first weekend of October. They should be undefeated and have a great amount of confidence with them at that time. If they're ever going to get Ohio State, you would think it would be this year as Ohio State retools, because nobody, in my opinion, lost more incredible talent than the Buckeyes off that title team. But that game is at the Shoe and not in Happy Valley. And so, again, you have to see it to believe it.
No doubt about it. It's John Bryce, footballscoop.com, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, trying to run down some of these schedule and games a couple of times a season with him. Always appreciate the conversation. What's the bigger game for the end playoff discussion? Is it Texas, Ohio State, or is it LSU, Clemson?
I think it's LSU, Clemson, because LSU has such a brutal schedule remaining, and it's a make or break year in a lot of ways for Brian Kelly. He's got to be a playoff contender the third week of November, the fourth week of November. And one quick thing, I actually wrote about this yesterday on Football Scoop, so a shameless plug there. LSU is opening away from home for the fifth consecutive year. The only other teams to do that inside the top 25 are Boise State and Notre Dame. LSU is the only team that hasn't won opening season game this decade. LSU has not won a season opener since 2019, the year it won the national title. And so I think there's extra pressure on the Tigers for all of those reasons, but especially because they don't know what it's like to get their season started on the right foot under Brian Kelly. And with all the tough games they have beyond that, they really, really need it. Clemson is still going. If Clemson loses this game, it probably means Clemson doesn't end up with a top four bye in the CFP, but it's still going to be one of the two best teams all season long in the ACC.
I'm not going to run down the entire list of Heisman favorites and the odds. I think we know who some of them are, obviously Klubnik and Manning and you know, Garrett Nussmeier. And there's a bunch of different guys that did, Jeremiah Smith, certainly. Is there a dark horse that you think should be on that list? And again, I'm not giving you the whole list, but I think you know who the favorites are. Is there a guy you think right now people are not paying attention to that within the first month of the season they will?
You know, Dante Moore at Oregon is one of the most hyped quarterbacks of this decade. And Oregon plays a lot of primetime games. They're in the Big Ten. They're a very trendy team. They get a lot of attention. They've got all the Nike stuff going for them. If he comes out and looks like this transcendent player that he was on the recruiting trail that made him be a Notre Dame commit and then headed to UCLA and then Oregon and all these other places, everybody wanted him. He's a guy I could see being in it. There are a couple of more out there. I would say that DJ Lagway, if Florida is just unbelievable, and Florida, again, has a brutal schedule, but if DJ Lagway has Florida in playoff contention and maybe has like this singular performance in a showdown against Texas, he would surge into the Heisman conversation at that point in time, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we've talked about this, John. I am a Florida fan, and they have an outstanding receiving core. The questions about health already ringing for Lagway. The schedule, as you mentioned, you can't go 8-4 and win a Heisman anymore. And I think that's going to be fighting against him as much as anything. It's John Bryce, footballscoop.com. This one is probably as open-ended a question as I'm going to ask you tonight, John. Who's the quarterback that won a battle that you have the most or highest expectations for?
Oh, my. That is quite the question. I mean, I think C.J. Carr at Notre Dame is going to be really, really good. We actually just left some interviews with players, including C.J. Carr. And the word I used on a video we just shot was command presence. And the guy just exudes it, and you can see why he has people who want to follow him. And I've talked to some people who told me that last summer, when CJ Carr had no prayer in the world of playing for Notre Dame and was just this freshman who'd been on campus for 8 months, he and his mom went to Costco and spent like $500 to cook out for the entire team, anybody that wanted to show up, and tons of people showed up. And I'm sure free food always helps. It gets me there. But they also came because he was already building respect with his teammates. So C.J. Carr would be in that mix. Julian Sain is definitely in that mix. And then Ty Simpson, I've known that family for a really long time. Jason Simpson, the UT Martin head coach, is a really brilliant offensive mind and one of the longest tenured FCS coaches out there. So I'm probably most excited to see Ty Simpson get his chance because he's such a rarity at this point in time. What is this, year four? Is he a redshirt junior and he's finally getting his chance to start for Alabama?
Yeah, and just circling back to C.J. Carr, I remember, well, I don't even know how many months ago it was, John, that you put me onto him. And the thought initially was that Steve Angeli, who had played and we'd seen a little bit of, was just going to stay at Notre Dame and be the starter. And you're like, I don't know. He might be out and Carr might be in. It's a fascinating battle, but certainly look, that's a top 10 team right now with a huge game. So he needs to show up immediately. Cause I think Carson Beck is due for a bigger year than a lot of people are expecting based off of what happened to him at Georgia the past two seasons. Final question for you, John Bryce of footballscoop.com. Certainly have to ask you about the Georgia Bulldogs. Look, they're ranked number 5 right now, but they're not necessarily being discussed as one of the teams that can win it all by a variety of different people. Is this a team that you think has what it takes to win it all? Are they trying to replace too much with too many question marks? Not enough first-round NFL talent, as people say? Where do you stand on the Georgia Bulldogs?
Well, they're in the SEC with arguably the single best head coach in college football right now. And so because of all that, I think Georgia has to be considered a CFP title contender. I do think it's fair to have significant question marks about Georgia. And I think Gunnar Stockton is a really natural leader and has a way that makes guys gravitate to him and want to play hard for him. But quarterback has never been more important in college football. And we've seen Georgia win a title with a quote-unquote game manager, but it's because his entire – defense basically now plays in the NFL, and Georgia still has a boatload of talent and they still have a bunch of NFL dudes, but I don't know that they have as many NFL dudes, and they've got a really tough schedule with the likes of Texas and Alabama and a week 3 or a game 3 trip to Tennessee that's not beaten Georgia since 2016. So I expect Georgia to be in playoff contention all year long, I would not handicap Georgia as my favorite right now to win the title.
John, always appreciate your time. Always appreciate the conversation. We'll let the season get a couple weeks deep, and then we'll do it again, all right?
Let's do it again for sure, Abe. Appreciate you, boys. Have a great night.
You got it. And John will be out there, I'm sure, covering that Notre Dame-Miami game. I think that is I get that everyone's on Texas-Ohio State, and you should be. I get you're on LSU-Clemson, and you should be. Do not sleep on Notre Dame and Miami. I would almost lock it in. Assuming health plays itself out, I would almost lock it in. The winner of that game is got a playoff spot. I would be shocked if the winner of that game doesn't play their way in the rest of the year. So a lot going on again. That one's Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9, the game. All right, when we come back, I hate to admit it, my expectations for the Falcons have decreased. They have diminished. It's true. I hope I'm wrong. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Also, the Atlanta Dream underway. We're going to keep an eye on that one as well. It's Abe Gordon. The Abe TL Show rolls on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.